world and what we can do about it. We've been discussing the ongoing pandemic-related financial crisis and the Republican refusal to take action. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.
Rising Up with Sonali is hosted, written, and executive produced by Sonali Kolhatkar. Anna Buss is the producer, technical director, and web and social media supervisor. Our theme music is by Grammy award-winning band Gets Up. Like us on facebook.com/RU with Sonali. That's the letters RU with Sonali. And follow us on twitter.com/RU with Sonali. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find all our programs archived and where you can get direct access to all our video and audio files.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. On the phone line with us is civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump. Brother Ben, I wanted to talk to you. Actually, we wanted to talk to you last week because there was a very disturbing shooting in Texas with a guy named Jonathan Price. But it seems like every day something new is happening. You all are in Illinois now. Dealing with the shooting of a couple that was in a car, and then we have the situation in Philadelphia. Before we even get into any of these cases, I just got to ask you, where do you see all this headed right now with the current political landscape, the changing of the Supreme Court? Are we going to be able to get any sort of legal traction with any of this stuff, or is that a done deal with the way that we're headed right now?
You know, David D., thank you for covering these matters all over the country like Silke and I do with the law firm. The one big thing I think it is just, it can't be overstated enough, this miscarriage of justice with this nominee for the United States Supreme Court that was rushed while we were literally in the process of picking the president. And this particular individual, this Amy Coney Barrett, issued an opinion that she did not think it was racism that the company could be held accountable for when the supervisor used the N-word. That's who we now have on the Supreme Court sitting in judgment of all these issues that are affecting our community. And so elections matter. On November the 3rd, we have to make sure that we get out and vote, or vote early, or have a plan to vote, because if given another 4 years, I think it would be devastating to the Black community of the kind of injustices that we're going to see happen.
With the current landscape, have police been emboldened? And, you know, I started off by saying we were going to talk to you last week about Jonathan Pryce, and now we got another, you know, two or three cases that have just emerged within that time. It seems like there's an increase, and it seems like this is not by accident, but very deliberate. What's your take on it being on the ground? And then tell us about the case that you're at right now in Illinois.
Yeah, I think that there seems to be even more, if you can believe it, in 2020, of these extrajudicial killings by police. The people who are supposed to protect and defend us, whether it's Jonathan Pryce or where I'm at today in Waukegan, Illinois, Marcellus Stinnett, who was shot to death in the car with his baby's mother, his girlfriend, who was 20 years old. Marcellus was 19. The police was fired on Friday. This shooting happened on Tuesday night of last week, and we're waiting for the video to be released because we anticipate that it's going to be horrific, and it's going to probably be very similar to Jacob Blake Jr. video in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And you take this in account with everything that's going on in Louisville, Kentucky, with Breonna Taylor, how the grand jury came and said it's not only the conduct of the police, but it's also the conduct of these prosecutors who won't prosecute and convict these killer cops who keep killing Black people, and how they even go into the grand jury proceedings and try to exonerate the officers, try to cover up for the officers' misdeeds, don't give all the information and evidence to the officers like we saw in Breonna Taylor, which is unprecedented. You know, the fact that the judge ordered for the first time in Kentucky history, David D., that members of the grand jury could speak, and they came out and confirmed exactly what we suspected, that the district attorney, the prosecutors for Attorney General Daniel Cameron, the first African-American Attorney General, young Black Republican who's Mitch McConnell's protege and on Donald Trump's Supreme Court shortlist. This guy and his office went in there when they asked for evidence. The grand jury, he said that it take too much time to watch all the body cam video. And the Black woman who was on the grand jury said, we got time. And then on top of that, when they said, can we consider charges, homicide charges against the killers of Breonna Taylor, they said literally, David D., that, well, we're not going to present that because we don't think we can make those charges stick. Well, what if that was the standard for all the brothers and sisters in the hood, that if it was a hard case or a questionable case, we don't charge them? That totally contradicts all the trumped up charges they give our brothers and sisters every day and twice on Friday.
Wow, that's just unbelievable. Let's talk about the case with Jonathan Pryce, if you don't mind. Sure. This was in Texas. This was a man who did what people say you should do. He saw a woman being beaten. He said, let me be a good Samaritan and go in and break it up. As he was doing that, they said the police officer came in, and he even introduced himself to the cop and shook his hand or tried to shake his hand, and he wound up being shot by the police. This is just crazy, especially since he was somebody, at least from what we were reading, you could tell us whether it's true or not, he was somebody who aspired to be a police officer. So can you shed some light on that? Because that came, that went, and then, it, you know, we have all these other cases that have popped up.
Yeah, it certainly seems that Jonathan Pryce was attempting to be a good Samaritan and doing everything right, and that the police still killed him because for whatever reason, they see Black people and they associate us with being criminals or thugs or up to no good and so forth. So he shot and killed them. And thank God there was video, and that officer has been arrested. And I do believe he will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Now, these other cases, we don't know yet. We're still waiting on them.
And what exactly happened here in Illinois, where you're at now? Because this is not too far from, you mentioned Jacob Blake. this is not too far from the city where he's at.
Not at all. Listen, Waukegan, Illinois, and Jacob Blake was shot in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and they're about apparently 50 miles to 60 miles apart from each other, and the state line divides them. Well, the one thing that happened, we know, is that the police officer allegedly shot multiple shots into this vehicle with no probable cause. And also, he turned off his, he didn't have his body cam video on, which would show us what happened. But thank God there was a business that had a surveillance body cam video. And because of that surveillance body cam video, we think that's going to tell us the story. And on top of that, and then also Walter Wallace, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who had a mental health crisis, and he had a knife. And you see on the video that he's coming towards the police, but the police did nothing to de-escalate the situation and literally executed him with multiple bullets going into his body.
Yeah, the Philadelphia thing reminds us, sadly, of the Mario Woods situation here.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. Benjamin Crump is our guest. At this point in time, two questions. One, is there a way to strengthen any sort of legislation that would once and for all hold cops accountable on a national level? If there's anything in the works that you see happening? And the second thing would be, what would you ask people that are listening, they're getting frustrated, some are getting desensitized to hearing killing after killing after killing with police with no end in sight? What do you think we should do?
Yes, and I answer these two questions, and they're trying to pull me away, David. But the first question is the George Floyd Justice and Policing Accountability Act. I think when you look at what the Congressional Black Caucus has put forward, it speaks to the implicit bias and lack of training of police and their failure to de-escalate situations with minority citizens. But it also looks at abolishing things like no-knock warrants and abolishing chokeholds and trying to pull back on qualified immunity, which is going to be a little harder now that we got that 6-3 majority in the United States Supreme Court. But that law also talks about body cam video, and it's about transparency plus accountability equals trust. And when we think about it, we have to get that passed. That's why this election matters, because Mitch McConnell got it sitting on his desk because the police union opposes the bill. They think that it will hold police officers accountable more, and they don't want that. And then the other thing you asked, David, for people who are getting, you know, overwhelmed and giving up hope, they got to remember now, Black people have faced far worse in America. We've overcome far worse than this. And so I talk about when I was in law school and they taught us about precedents in the first year. In first year law school, they was indoctrinating our mind about precedents over and over again, that we have to look to precedents to be able to get rulings for today and the future so we can have consistency in the law. They kept saying, you can't just make decisions randomly. You got to look back on precedent. Now, I didn't accept that, David, because I knew if we based everything on precedents, the United States Supreme Court said Black people, you know, we'll still be slaves. But I did understand what they were trying to teach us about precedent, and that is, based on precedents, it's a likely indicator of what is to happen in the future. So when I look at the precedents of Black people in America, based on the fact that we overcame slavery, precedents show that we overcame the Middle Passage. Precedent shows that we overcame when they said we was 3/5 of a human being. Precedent says that we overcame Reconstruction. Precedent says we overcame the Dred Scott decision that said there were no rights that a Black man had that a white man was bound to respect. Precedent says that we overcame, you know, Plessy v. Ferguson and separate but equal. Precedent said that we overcame Jim Crow and also overcame his wiser son, Jim Crow Jr. And so based on all of that, based on the precedence of our black people in America, our ancestors and our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and grandfathers, what that tells me is no matter what they throw at us today in America, black people will overcome it.
Real talk. Benjamin Crump, attorney Benjamin Crump, civil rights attorney. I know you got to go. Thank you very much, because you're getting ready to maybe go see that video. Hopefully we can get some justice out of it. But thank you so much for spending time with us.
Hey, God bless, David D. Thanks for fighting the power, brother.
We're going to keep doing it. That was attorney Benjamin Crump. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for GC3, ain't no more free of speed. I gave him chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Nope, I seen what I seen, I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick. When I heard all that time that they gave to Talib, he got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment. They gon' blame us. You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn up the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the faces. Know the way that we living is not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotect to go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign, seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on, I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind of, they ride it, they wrong. I call him now, he'll pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. Be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, they messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. And I'm going on the front line, he gon' bust your ass. If you come past that gun line, you know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. You gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my conscience, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupted police been the problem where I'm from, but I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercations with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngest to vote. I deal with I dig as I damn had no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no games. Ain't taking no more, let us go from them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep to heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, so I can't mention it's people who can. Well, here's the chance, I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can be. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace. So it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. What do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Let us ha. Hey, ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, south, conectados.
Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, rah, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. We just got off the phone with Attorney Benjamin Crump talking about some of the things that's going on in Texas and Illinois. But all eyes are also on the city of Philadelphia. The headline that we are hearing out on the West Coast was that 30 police officers were injured, that there was unrest throughout the night. But it all comes down to police shooting an unarmed or a man that was having a mental breakdown. And we wanted to find out what's going on and get the larger picture around this. Joining us from the Abolitionist Law Center is Robert Salim Holbrook. Welcome to the show. And can you kind of give our listeners an understanding of what took place in Philadelphia that we had this unrest and what's the larger context to see this in?
Yes, thank you. So right now we're still gathering information about what happened last night. However, what happened is not in dispute. Many of us saw the video of Walter Wallace Jr. being gunned down by police officers, a young man suffering from mental illness. The community, his mother and the family were begging the police officers not to shoot him. It is believed that he did have a knife and he was approximately 10 feet from the officers and they opened fire, pumping 13 rounds into his body. What we do know is this, that he did not need 13, 14 rounds of bullets to sear through his body. What he needed was help, and he did not receive it. He did not need armed police officers to come to his house. We did not need armed police officers to come into that community and escalate a situation. All of the evidence and all the data shows that police escalate violence when it comes to people suffering from mental health disabilities. People in the community, the family was letting people know, was letting the police officers know, was telling the police officers that, look, he's sick, he needs help, don't shoot him. I mean, you hear people literally begging the police officers, don't shoot him, don't shoot him. People were just in shock when they unloaded those rounds into that young man. So what is not in dispute is how he was murdered, how he was gunned down. There was no need to use force. He needed help. And that's something that we're trying to convey to not only the police, not only to the mayor, but to the city council in Philadelphia, that we need an entirely new form of policing. What's happening in our communities around police is not working. We're not interested in reform. We've been beating our heads on the wall of reform for the past 40 or 50 years. You could go back to every major disturbance in this country within our communities when it comes to police violence, and you'll see the same tired reports. We need more training. We need more black police officers. We need more sensitivity training. We need body cameras. We need to outlaw the chokehold. I mean, this stuff is old. We've been hearing this for 40 or 50 years. What we need to do is we need to abolish police, and we need to come up with a new system, a new agency of securing our communities.
Robert, let me ask you this. In a place like Philly, where you have a large African-American population, and I don't know what the current scenario is now, but in the past, we've had black mayors, we've had black attorney generals, we've had black police chiefs, the whole nine. That, as you pointed out, was often touted as a solution. Let's get some more black folks in there, and things would change. But obviously, things haven't changed. It was under a black mayor that they bombed the MOVE organization. So what is going on that we have black folks that seem to be incapable of reining in the police, even though that's been offered as a solution, or are they complicit, you know, in favor of what the police are doing?
Absolutely. Well, you know what the problem is, and this is something that a lot of us within our communities have not been willing to call out, that we're going to have to start calling out, is you're correct. They have been complicit. If anything, all of these mayors, black mayors, all these police commissioners, all they did was turn these jobs into patronage for the black community. It didn't help the black community. It was pretty much just a political patronage for this class to pretty much run the city, look out for their homies, look out for the people from their neighborhood, and assign them jobs. They did not come into these agencies with any ideal for change. And that's what we're suffering from. We're suffering from a lack of imagination, but more importantly, a lack of leadership and a lack of will by the people who claim to represent us from our communities. We don't need you to go in there and act the same way or uphold the same institutions that have been oppressing us since we've been in this country. We need our leaders to go in there and envision bold reform. And more importantly, understand that you got power and start exercising it. And that's something that a lot of our black leaders do not do. They get in there and they are more interested in photo op politics as opposed to actually change in our communities.
Robert, let me ask you this, if you can put on your lawyer hat or the law center hat for a minute. We know that Philadelphia is the home to the oldest chapter of the Fraternal Order of Police. And we know over the years that they have attempted to nationalize certain laws that would be favorable to their organizations, primarily a policeman's bill of rights, which has made it very difficult for them to be prosecuted, at least here in California where we're at. With the current political landscape, the new installment of a Supreme Court justice, which, you know, in the past the Supreme Court has ruled favorably for police, what does that spell for us on the horizon? And, you know, do you see any sort of legal strategy or legislative steps that we can take to protect ourselves, or that bus came and gone?
I don't know if that bus has came and gone, but I'll tell you what, we need to build our own bus. That's where we're at right now. For too long, we've been begging to be at the seat of table and power. We've been begging people to invite us into the dining room. What we need to do is we need to build our own table and build our own community power. That's what we need to do. We don't need to keep chasing our tail with a lot of these reforms. So we need to fight in the streets. We need to fight in the courtrooms. We need to meet those who would do harm to our communities wherever they at, and engage them at whatever level they're at. We cannot afford right now to fall back and sit on our hands and to pursue the same tired strategies that have us in this situation today. I mean, really think about this, right? Over 100 years ago, during the summer of 1919, black neighborhoods and black cities across America rose up against white vigilante terrorism and police terror in 1919. And here it is, we're in the summer of 2020, and we're in the same situation as our ancestors were in 100 years ago. So if we don't start coming up with more aggressive ways to combat white supremacy, and more importantly, hold those who harm our communities accountable, our children are going to be fighting this battle 40, 50 years from now.
You mentioned not to come begging and, you know, for a seat at the table, but I think most people are looking and saying, well, there's got to be some laws in place. I mean, if not, then, you know, you also said use your imagination. So can you share with us some steps or some ideas that we may start to build around? Because I think many people are like, well, you know, I want to get rid of the police chief. I want to get a law in place. But is there another path? What does that look like?
Yeah, there's several paths. So, you know, one of the paths, when we're talking about defunding police, we're talking about reinvesting that money into services and organizations that actually are helping our community, right? Police don't make our community safer. Police essentially come after the fact, after the crime has been committed, after harm is committed. What we have to start doing is defunding the money going into police for that service that does not benefit our communities, and start redirecting, reallocating that money into community organizations that are helping at-risk youth. We need to put more money into our schools. We need to reopen rec centers in our communities. And more important, we need to address mental trauma in our communities. We need resources to go into a real health and human services department that will send people out here to deal with the long-lasting trauma that is in our communities that contributes to a lot of the harm in our communities. So that's one way. That's one thing that we could do. Other things we have to do, too, is we have to push back on police unions, because police unions are the ones who enable police officers to not be held accountable for harming Black people, for murdering Black people. Listen, I don't care where you're at on the spectrum of police, whether it's you support police reform, you support police abolition, or even if you support police, I could assure you that the overwhelming majority support that police officers who do misconduct, police officers who harm people, police officers who harm the community, dirty cops, need to be fired. They need to be held accountable. And the main obstacle to that is police unions, is the FOP. So FOP police unions need to be removed from the equation of unions. They're not part of the labor movement. And that's something that we have to do. We have to separate them from the labor movement and make a stand and basically let labor know that, listen, choose a side in this fight. Either choose the communities who are being harmed by police or choose the ones who are harming those communities. So that's very important that we do.
As we close out, you know, can you tell us what actually took place last night? Or can you share with us, you know, as I said, the headline said 30 cops got hurt. And of course, they're putting a whole twist on it for whatever reason. So, you know, if you can give us the assessment of what went down last night in the streets of Philadelphia.
Certainly. I think the police made a terrible mistake last night. Philadelphia, you know, is a city that's already rocked by just a lot of craziness in our streets. There was a mentality, there was an attitude last night on the streets of West Philadelphia that the people ain't taking this. People came out, they met the police where they was at, they went to the police station, and they told them, like, look, if you want to bring it, we're here, we're standing our ground. And I could tell you this, that the people, the community did not start the confrontation, the police started it, and the community finished it. The community ran the police from 52nd Street corridor. You know, the police were pretty much in retreat all night, as they should have been. When you come into our communities with hostile intent, you should be in retreat. I don't care if you're a police officer or a civilian. If you come into the Black community and you come into our communities intending to harm us, then you should be run out of our communities. And that's what happened last night. And I'm not offering no apologies for what happened. I was out there observing it. The community defended itself. The community rose up in resistance, and we hope to see more of it. As long as police officers emboldened by the FOP believe that they could come into our communities and kill our people, we have a right to defend ourselves. We have a right to come out into the street and confront those who harm us. And that's what happened in West Philadelphia last night. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. But you know what? It could happen out in Oakland tomorrow. It could happen in St. Louis. It could happen in Miami. This isn't an incident that's just unique to Philadelphia. This is happening all over our country. And if you know, the short story is that's what went down last night in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and that's pretty similar to what happened a few months ago in the middle of the height of the Shelter Inn in Jersey City. And they tried to act like it didn't go down, you know, removing footage and everything. But the police came into those projects and folks let them know. Robert Saleem, we appreciate you taking time out. For the people that's listening, you know, around the country, what would be some marching orders that you asked them to do? Is there any way that folks in West Philly can be supported or anything that you want to end this conversation on?
Certainly. One thing I would ask people to do is look up the Black Philly Radical Collective. We have issued abolitionist demands rooted in the Black radical tradition that we are moving in the city. Follow and keep up to speed what the Abolitionist Law Center is doing. And I would also urge people to be ready to stand up. You know, we're in a crisis moment in this country, and now more than ever, it's important for Black people and all communities of color to not only stand up, but stand our ground. That's very important for us to understand that we have an inherent human right to defend ourselves and to defend our communities.
Robert Saleem Holbrook, we appreciate you taking time out. We will keep our eyes and ears out on Philadelphia. Stay safe out there, and we appreciate your inspirational words.
Thank you. You do the same out there, too.
We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
At the same time, all the corruption and justice, the same crimes. Always a problem if we do or don't fight and we die. We don't have the same right. What is a gun to a man that surrenders? What's it gonna take for someone to defend her? If we all agree that we're equal as people, then why can't we see what is evil? My life from me, I can't breathe. Will anyone fight for me? How do we cope when we don't love each other? Where is the hope and the empathy?
Of minds, bodies, and human rights, stripped of bloodlines, whipped and confined. This is the American pride. It's justifying a genocide, romanticizing the theft and bloodshed that made America the land of the free. To take a black life, land of the free, to bring a gun to a peaceful fight for civil rights. You are desensitized to pulling triggers on innocent lives because that's how we got here in the first place. These wounds sink deeper than the bullet your entitled hands could ever reach. Generations and generations of pain, fear, and anxiety. Equality is walking without intuition, saying the protector and the killer is wearing the same uniform. The revolution is not televised. Media perception is forced down the throats of closed minds, so it's lies in the headlines and generations of supremacy resulting in your ignorant, privileged... We breathe the same and we bleed the same, but still we don't see the same. Be thankful we are God-fearing because we do not seek revenge. We seek justice. We are past fear. We are fed up eating your because you think your so-called black friend validates your wokeness and erases your racism. That kind of uncomfortable conversation is too hard for your trust fund pockets to swallow. To swallow the strange fruit hanging from my family tree because of your audacity to say all men are created equal in the eyes of God, but disparage a man based on the color of his skin. Do not say you do not see color. When you see us, see us. We can't breathe.
Good afternoon. Stewart. I use they, them, she, her pronouns, and I'm the founder of the Open Project. Today, I call upon each and every one of you to make a commitment. Today, I urge you to commit that today is the very last day that transphobia will bring the lives, loves, and joys of black trans people.
On June 14th, thousands rallied outside the Brooklyn Museum in New York to demand that black trans lives be included in the larger Black Lives Matter movement to end police brutality. The aim was to bring attention to black trans people who are killed and incarcerated at disproportionate rates. The rally came days after the murder of two black trans women, Dominique Fells of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Rhea Milton of Cincinnati, Ohio. It also followed a rollback of health care protections for transgender or gender non-binary persons. We will look at transgender activism and the call for inclusion and intersectionality in the movement for black lives. Two days after the murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, an officer in Tallahassee, Florida, killed Tony McDade, a 38-year-old black trans man. Last month alone, it was reported that a total of 8 trans women had been killed. According to the National Center for Transgender Equality, 28 transgender or gender non-binary persons have been murdered this year compared to 27 deaths last year. The violence is pronounced for black and Latina trans women, a group that is especially vulnerable to police brutality and other forms of violence. And sadly, too often when we discuss the movement for black lives, all black lives aren't centered in the discussion. Blossom C. Brown, an activist and a black trans woman based in Los Angeles, California, believes that's typically true when it comes to black trans people.
We cherry pick which black lives matter. You know, at the same time that George Floyd was being killed and we were out protesting in the streets for him, we also had a black trans man by the name of Tony McDade that was also killed at the very same time. And yet, we couldn't get people to shout Tony's name for nothing in the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, it was George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, which is, you know, important. But the reality of it is, if you're not willing to shout all black lives, all the black lives that have been affected, then, you know, what's the point of a movement?
The global uprising for black lives has largely centered around the murders of black cisgender men, like George Floyd, by police. Black trans activists are attempting to widen the conversation to include black transgender and gender nonconforming folks as well. Kay Good, a black trans woman based in Atlanta, Georgia, says the key to inclusion is understanding intersectionality within the movement.
So when we think about why the folks don't show up for black, queer, and trans people, it's because they don't really, one, feel like they have to, because some people feel like it's a separate issue. Folks don't really have an understanding of like intersectionality. So like some people just think like, oh, when we talk about blackness, it's specifically like cishet straight black folks. Like blackness is intersectional. Blackness isn't a monolith. So like folks need to understand that like black people in general, right, are under attack when we talk about the state, are under attack when we talk about police brutality. So folks need to like do some serious work around like unpacking like their socializations and like understanding of what it is to show up when we talk about BLM. So it's not just like black cishet men, it's all black people, like all black lives matter.
Kay's commitment to helping the movement evolve to include the realities of black trans women is key to addressing the lack of equity and equality for all black folks. How so, you might wonder? Well, just think about it. Black trans women are considered to be the most marginalized within the black community. The combination of structural racism and transphobia leaves black trans women most vulnerable. Atlanta-based activist Kay Good says, black trans women exist on the peripheral of harm.
Breaking it down into detail about what harm looks like, it's literally physical violence. So being murdered, being like assaulted, raped, also talking about the systems, right? So talking about like having resources, so having access to healthcare, having resources to be able to transition safely, whatever that looks like to you. So that can be hormone replacement therapy, that could be surgeries, having enough money to even be able to fund the surgeries that affirm you and your gender and your body. Also talking about housing and talking about like limited resources that trans folks have, and like, or limited to no resources that trans folks have, the discrimination that folks may deal with who are homeless and going into a homeless shelter, and like a Black trans woman may be turned away, or there have been countless numbers of trans women that have been turned away because of their transness. And then bringing that into people having to do survival sex work and how that puts their lives in danger as well, and having to navigate that.
It's this type of structural violence that many, if not all, Black trans women are forced to navigate. Take the case of Kayla Moore, a 41-year-old Black transgender woman who died in 2013 after six officers in Berkeley, California, used excessive force to detain her. Or the in-custody death of Laylene Polanco, an Afro-Latinx transgender woman imprisoned on Rikers Island last year after being held on a $501 bail dating back to a 2017 prostitution charge. And in 2020, a week after the murder of George Floyd, a horrifying video of Ayanna Dior, a Black trans woman who was brutally attacked in Minnesota, Minneapolis. According to the American Medical Association, transgender women are killed so often in the U.S., it has been declared an epidemic. And because of this harsh reality, many queer and hetero activists are attempting to recenter LGBTQ voices in the movement for Black lives. Sean Seifer-Wall, an intersex activist based in Atlanta, Georgia, believes we must remember the creation history of BLM.
I feel like out of the Black Lives Matter movement, there were many Black, queer, and trans leaders, you know, who came out of this movement. And I think the mainstream, again, like people are willing, because now Black Lives Matter is tied to capitalism, it's tied to incentive and revenue. I think people now are about Black Lives Matter, but they don't get the point that it was Black queer people fighting for all Black lives, right? And again, people want to embrace Black Lives Matter and still want to disrespect Black trans women. And it's just like, if you're trying to do that, then you're not getting why this battle was fought. Because the organizers were very clear that this was a very inclusive movement that would center the leadership of Black, queer, and trans people.
This is a pivotal time. We are experiencing a global pandemic, an economic crisis that has disproportionately impacted people of color, and a nationwide uprising for racial justice. Many activists believe we must build on the urgency of this moment. In the midst of Black suffering and the fight for Black lives, now is the time to leave personal biases behind and unify in shared struggles. I'm Anita Johnson, reporting from Oakland, California.
In our time, everybody's fighting, change coming. Yes, that's why it's an acronym for riot. Everybody has a voice, don't you dare stay silent. If you say nothing, you are an accessory to violence. Let these words be the tears of our people that are crying. We can bring back hope, but not the people that are dying. It's what happens when the people you've oppressed ask for change in the country that they built, but you've ignored and denied. This is Sandra Bland, George Floyd, and every single family. Police brutality is intervened in and destroyed. Couple bad cops can't define all you other boys, so every good cop needs to stand up and make some noise. Asian doesn't matter because we can't avoid. So let's all come together, join hands, and just get annoyed at people who believe racism makes sense in a country built on minorities, slave work, employees. Nobody's born racist, man. It's something you learn deep rooted in your brain from the day of your birth. I think it's time that we repair all of these bridges we burned and let love out of our hearts onto the cheeks we've turned. Spread love, show love. Let's get rid of this curse. Don't wait for anyone to act, man. You go first. 400 years wasted. Let's get rid of this hurt, because that's the only way we'll ever see peace on earth.
I can't breathe.
scream all lives matter because we aren't treated equally. Remember when we were kids and didn't see color, and when we played in kindergarten and I called you my brother? Then we grew up and they taught us we should hate on each other, even though we went in the same and we all came from our mothers. I hope y'all understand, hate is not a trait, it was learned, man. Equality is the quality we need inside this earth, man. Give and receive is the karma that you earn, man.
In its wake, has been exposed the cracks in the system, in economics, health, education, transportation, and the law, just to cite a few areas of human endeavor. We have seen how easily these systems can and have fallen apart. The glue holding these systems together have cracked, frayed, and shatter. There have been scattered attempts to bypass and ignore COVID-19, but few have proven successful. Across the nation, we see a surge in COVID cases, and the overwhelming number of states report increases, not decreases. That many Americans regard the wearing of a mask as a political decision instead of a public health option is a measure of the spread of this virus and the absence of common sense. COVID-19 is winning in America and around the world. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
What does it mean to be sheltered in place if the place you sheltered in don't feel safe? And how do we become so qualified to judge and chastise and lose the ability to empathize with those who don't feel safe inside for whatever reason? You know, you sometimes ain't got the luxury of feeling safe at home when you ain't got a safe space to call your own. No privacy, no courtesy, no bed, nor peace of mind. You're grateful for a roof over your head, but that's not where everybody spends their time. So by this time, you're already mastered trying to stay out the way. And you already overheard chatter about not overextending your stay. And trying to find resources hard without a computer or Wi-Fi. Plus, employment opportunities are scarce and local businesses are boarded up. So you're being honest with yourself, asking like, why try? And it's not that everybody who's outside right now is even trying to be selfish. You know, some don't even want to be outside. They're just trying to avoid the insult of being displaced inside. You see, there's a lot of uncomfortable life going on. And despite what you see on your timeline, not everybody's dancing to the same song. You know, some are dancing to the tune of loneliness and some ain't dancing at all. Some have their phones glued to their face and some ain't got no phones at all. No homes at all. No clocks on the wall. No time at all. No TikTok. No selfies. No hashtags. No memes. No statuses with complaints about how much food they overate. You know, some are still trying to find a meal and some are still trying to find their meal. I saw a broken car glass on my run around the block today. I must got a lot running through my mind today. Probably an indicator that I need to be still and pray, but the fact is we are all in this together, and the ones who judge and lead without love must not know no better. The world's lungs are under attack, and we're wasting precious breath on judgment, conspiracy theories about the government. Remember, we don't all have the same privilege when it comes on to access to information, and we're not all watching the same station. And after 10 years as an administrator in special education, I can tell you we all learn different. Matter of fact, it's time for a deep breath. It's time for a reset. Creatives, be gentle with yourselves. It's okay to take a break. Your value as a person is not defined by the art you create. Some of us are called to be light, and all of us are called to be salt. Preserve your well-being. Let love and kindness be your currency. Let Christ's compassion lead the way. And despite what economists say, empathy is the new wave. And it's the same as the old one too. It's all cyclical. And if you believe that money makes the world go round, then yeah, this standstill can be scary. But there are those of us who learn to speak without talking and move without walking. This is a journey to the inside. No more sweeping it under the rug. That rug is filled. And yes, the pain is present, but the love is real. So, today I'm gonna be patient with myself. The goal is to be present, not perfect. And parents, you don't have to be perfect. This ain't no normal homeschooling. Your children can feel the world's stress. And under such circumstances, no one learns their best. And you are doing your best. And might I add, a damn good job? And so are our essential workers too. And right now I'm gonna say a special prayer for our social workers and educators too. And all the folks doing food accessibility work, I see you. Three black chefs in Meadowview, I see you. And I thank you from the abundance of my heart. And for our families with loved ones behind bars, I know this season is hard. So I don't want to offer any platitudes or throw any out of context scripture your way. And for those of us who've lost loved ones to the virus, we lament and pray. We are experiencing a collective grief to a scale none of us have ever seen before. Be gentle with yourselves. Do not harden your hearts. It may be Christ knocking at the door.
meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
Driving around and we would see Nazi skinheads, we'd jump out of the car and we're like, are you white pride? Are you white pride? And we'd start